turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 13:4, chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to share a part one of a series that I know you're going to love. I know you're going to be excited about. Are you ready? Symptoms and consequences of laziness. Part one. Well, you know what? I'm telling you, now you parents, you probably really want to bring your kids to this, amen? But then it'd be good for you to hear it. Do you know how much there is, you can hang on a minute, how much there is in the Word, in the Proverbs about laziness? There is a lot in the Word about laziness. In fact, I just think of a verse in Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek Him. It's incumbent upon us as believers is to seek the Lord. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open, you know? Laziness. Proverbs 13:4. Look at this. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Sluggard is a word coming from the word slug. How many of y'all know what a slug is? It's a slimy. It's a snail without its little house on its back. It's a homeless snail. And they don't get along very fair. You hear about the joke? Oh, this is not my notes, but this slug comes to this guy's door, knocks on the door, and the guy comes up, and slug says, hi, and the guy grabs a slug and throws him as far as he can. About a year later, knock on the door, opens it, the slug says, what was that all about? Sorry. Okay. All right. The soul of the sluggard desires. Now look at 21:25. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know he's talking about two different creatures here. It's slugs, which is a homeless snail, and now sloths. Now, we don't have a lot of the creature sloths around here. They may have them at the zoo. I don't know. But the sloth is a unique creature. It hangs upside down and sleeps about 18 to 20 hours a day. Okay? Sound like your teenager during summertime? In fact, algae grows on it because it doesn't move. Okay, the slothful desires, but he kills him. Oh, I want this and I want that. And I wish I could have this. Wish I could have. It doesn't do nothing. So, we are going to see today three principles, symptoms, and consequences of laziness. Just going to look at three. And the first one is, hit play. Covetous dreamer! Let's hear it for the sound guy. Are we high tech? Need to work on that a little bit. Covetous dreamer. He desires and has nothing. Or 13:4. He desires and has nothing. He won't. It kills him. You know, what I want to do in this series is talk about laziness. You know what? A lazy person, one of the symptoms is they're covetous and they dream a lot. But the problem is because they're lazy, they end up a lot of other people supporting them. You know, and a person that's lazy is covetous, but they dream. They are susceptible to get rich quick schemes. How many of y'all know those are out there? I mean, they're a dime a dozen. If you get in the middle of the night, you know, there's always these infomercial things, you know, 30 minutes long, and people come up, and they're sitting there, and they got a yacht behind them, and, you know, they're sitting in Hawaii, and talking about, yeah, I was sitting at home in the middle of the night, and this infomercial came, and I dialed that 1-800 number, and I gave them $399, and now I'm in Hawaii, and I'm rich beyond all my dreams. And I don't have to do nothing. I just dialed that 1-800 number and send my $399. Oh, and I got this book and these CDs and everything, and now I'm rich. You know, and people go, oh, yeah, where's my credit card? You know, get-rich-quick schemes. I'm sorry, but a lot of people's retirement plan in Texas, you know what it is? It's the lotto. The lotto, with the lotto, did you know the lotto system is really a curse? Because it is a tax. Guess who it's a tax on? The poor. You don't see guys in Lexuses or Rolls Royce drive up to the 7-Eleven, go in and buy a lotto. Who do you see? People without any teeth, with beer in their breath. You know, just coming off the day labor, they spent all their money on lotto. It's just a dream. They have no conception of what 26 million to one means. No conception. Okay. Always fantasizing about things, ruled by greed, but held by laziness. Willing to con, scheme, and get money and anything other than earning it. Anything other than going to work. Covetous dreamers. Lazy people don't want to work. You know, Scripture says if you don't work, you don't what? Eat. You know, we live in a culture that has, it's sad because it's so foreign from the foundation of our culture. The United States was really built as a country of pioneers that had a kind of a manifest destiny. Y'all remember your history? That the manifest destiny was to march across the Mississippi all the way to the West Coast, you know? That was what they called it. From sea to shining sea, a country of pioneers and hard workers and entrepreneurs. And we had a freedom of a system that you could be poor, you could immigrate from Poland or Russia or Germany, come here and do well. And that's how our country's always been. That's why we are the breadbasket of the world. But something has slipped up under in the last generation. Really started in the 30s, and is a mindset of welfareism, a mindset of kind of entitlement, that certain groups are entitled to certain things at the behest of others, socialism, which really robs the heart of a people, that somehow you earn money, you pay it the taxes, the government gives it to me. And it's just socialism. I'm sorry, socialism to me is demonic. I have seen the end of socialism. I've been to Cuba. I have been to Cuba. I have walked around the Great Tribulation of the nightmare of people begging, a woman falling before me, kneeling and crying, would I please give her another bar of soap? You wouldn't believe the horror of Cuba. You don't hear it in our press. I've been there quite a while. We're cognizant. We've had our Cuban minister come and tell us that's the end result of welfareism to the extreme. And you know what it's created? There's a mindset of we entitled to things and we don't have to work. You know what? When you're saved, when you're born again, Jesus has called you to do something. Can you hear an amen? He said in Matthew 25, he gave a guy a talent, 5 talents. Remember 3 talents? Oh, it was 1 talent. Remember? And he came back, and the guy that went and invested it and worked hard and doubled, he says, well done. The guy that took 3, well done. But the guy who took the talent, he didn't want to do anything. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. He said, you could have at least given it to the bank and gotten interest. Do something. Get off your... So that's the first symptom and consequences of laziness is a covetous dream. Now, how many of y'all know people or grew up around people? Or maybe you have relatives right now. They don't want to work. They just want to feed off. They're like leeches. You know? Like parasites. You know, there are certain plants that are parasites, parasitical plants. That literally you know what a moss, you all know mosses? I grew up in New Orleans and we used to go to a place called Audubon Park. Beautiful little park. It's filled with Spanish moss. Oh, it looks like a tree has gray beards. But you know, moss is a parasite. It just feeds off the tree. And there are a lot of, and it's a type. There are certain insects, ticks and mosquitoes are parasites. And there are people like that. They're mossy ticks. You know, they just suck and feed off of other people. Parents, it is not good to enable your children. There's a point where it's time to get out of the house and go make a living. Amen? And you know, the problem is a lot of kids will con and manipulate and so that they can continue to not have to work. It's not good. I thank the Lord for my parents, my daddy. You know, as soon as I was of able, he ran a construction company. And he was a vice president, and I'm telling you what, by the time I was able to do it, summer times, we were out there in the yard, in the construction yard, out on construction sites, working, you know, the boss's son, but he made us work. He taught us to be, and then they said, I wanted a car, and they said, fine, go get a job. So I worked at a 5 and Dime, I worked at a fried chicken place, you know, I worked early on, and I got to keep the money I made. It was good to have money. that you earned. Amen? It taught me the value of a dollar. And it's really important, parents, to not, you know, I really believe if you give your kid allowance, fair enough, that's right. But you ought to have chores. Amen? They need to have responsibilities. So we want to grow, raise our children, and we all want to be delivered from covetous dreamer. Let's look at the next one. Proverbs 18:9. Turn there. 18:9. He also that's slothful is in his work is a brother to him that's a great waster. You're going to be amazed at how many of these are in the Proverbs. He that's slothful is a brother to him that is a great waster. And then look at 12:27. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You know, guy gets up at 3 o'clock, gets his boy, says, boy, we're going to go duck hunting. You know? How many of you have been duck hunting? I went duck hunting once. One time, I remember. Guy came over when I was a kid, I was a teenager. My God, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. We got in his truck. Went out in the middle of nowhere, got our, you know, legs all walking through the marsh, climbed up in this tree in this little blind. I must have been blind to go out there. Sat in this little blind thing with this gun that I didn't know how to shoot and froze. I mean, froze. And finally the sun came up and I remember thinking, this is fun, right? We're having fun. And we finally did see some ducks way off in the horizon. So I said, I'm not called to be a duck hunter. It just wasn't my deal. And it's ironic. I grew up in sportsman paradise in southern Louisiana, but it wasn't. You know, this is the type of a guy, slothful man, roasts not what you took in hand. Suppose he shoots a duck. Sends a dog out to get the duck. Dog comes back. What's left? It gives him the duck. He says, great, thank you, dog. Throws it in the bottom of the boat. Maybe gets a couple of ducks. Okay. Gets back to his truck. Takes the ducks, throws them in the back of the truck. All right? So far, so good. Gets onto the house, takes the ducks out of the back of the truck, throws them on the porch. All right? Gets into the house. He's tired of shooting them ducks, finally hauling them all the way to the house. Finally, the next day, his wife says, what are you going to do with them ducks? They're out on the porch, and you can spend all day yesterday hunting for them? He said, yeah. It's just a hassle. I have to cook them and pluck them and stuff. It's fun hunting them, but, you know, just let them rot. Isn't that stupid? The slothful man doesn't roast that which he took in hunting. He's too lazy to clean his own game. You know, that's another type. A slothful man is a chronic waster. All right, let's hear it for the guy. Chronic waster. You know what's a type of that? Now, I mean nothing personal. Some of y'all are going to come up to me afterwards and say, you do. You deliberately did that sermon for me. I know you did. It was for me. You had me in mind, didn't you? You talked to my wife before you got that sermon together. Now, trust me, that's not the case. But a chronic waster. You know how it's an indication of a slothful person? You ready? A sloppy environment. They won't put stuff up. Now, again, I mean nothing personal, but, you know, I can determine more about a person by looking in their car. They go to McDonald's, you know, they open that thing and they just, you know, and they finish, and they never look back there. It's become a hazardous waste dump, you know. People want a ride. I'm sorry, you can't get in. You don't want to get in my car. A sloppy person things won't be fixed. They won't fix things. They won't repair things. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes says, in fact, it just came to my mind. Listen to this. He says, by much slothfulness, the building decays, and through idlenesses of hands, the house drops through. Ecclesiastes 10:18. You know, one thing about owning a home is you got to be repairing things. You can't just say, well, someday maybe it's just a pixie, an angelic being may just fix that roof thing one day. You know, you won't put things up. You can tell a slothful person. They live in disorder and chaos. Yeah, I really believe it's important to make your bed. You say, well, why? I mean, in 12 hours, I'm going to be back in it again. And nobody's going to come in this bedroom. This is stupid. Just leave it. No, I think it's important to make your bed. You know why? Jesus is there. He sees that bed. And you want to say, well, where is that scriptural? Well, all I know is when he rose from the dead, listen, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says that the garment that was around his head was folded neatly. Did you know that? It was. It was. So if he rose from the dead and made his bed, you can make your bed. Amen? A slothful person won't teach their kids to care for stuff. I'm sorry, but I had a few times raising Blake in faith. I can remember at least twice, maybe three times, of getting angry. I do recall two or maybe three. And it usually involved the kids doing something with something, breaking it, or not being responsible with stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's your house, and kids don't tend to understand that holes in walls and broken window panes, and it involves time and labor. You know, it's important to teach your kids. A slothful man will not take advantage of opportunities that come along. I have a saying, I talk to folks in my business, when opportunity knocks, at least look through the window. You know, a slothful man won't. They're just kind of waiting for opportunity not to just knock. They want opportunity to open the door, come on in, sit down in front of them, and hand the pen in their hand. No. A slothful man tends to be impulsive, no planning, shoddy. Liz tends to live above their means. Now, this is really a problem in our culture. That's the curse of credit. It's a curse. And in the business I'm in, I'm always helping people. It's a nightmare, man. We help people get their finances together. And it is just a nightmare, the kind of credit card problems people have in our country. Do you know the average American has $9,000 in credit card debt? The average American. Did you know that? That's the average, $9,200. And people don't understand. Do you know that just $3,000 in credit card debt, just $3,000 at the average 19.8% APR, paid the minimum. Do you know how long it'll take to get out of just $3,000 paid minimum? 39 years. That's just $3,000. $9,000 paid the minimum. You'll be passing that to your grandkids. So, it's living above your means. I believe where God guides, God provides. It's incumbent upon. We have credit cards. We pay them off at the end of every month. I refuse to live above my means. Amen? I know it's kind of tight, and my wife and I have conversation at times about these issues, but I, doggone it, I believe that about this church. You know, I try to have a, I believe as I'm a good steward, but God will provide. But God doesn't provide for our hypothetical. God doesn't provide for our wishes. He provides for our needs. A slothful man doesn't know the value of a dollar. They tend to arrive, here it is. You ready? They tend to arrive late. To the job, to church, to meetings. Slothful. There's time and then there's their time. Tend to be late. Tend to be insensitive to promptness. They equate planning with dreaming. Equate planning with dreaming. Bleeding is simply by dreaming. I'm planning. There's different. You can dream. That's fine. Now sit down and make a plan. They tend to spend their money that they do have on indulgences and extravagances rather than basic needs. These are all indications of laziness. In their career, they won't keep abreast of the facts of their industry, you know? A lot of career people, they will encourage you to, amen, to go back and take, I know in the training and the business that I'm in, they demand to maintain your license, you have to take continuing education every 2 years. And it's a pain. You know, I just finished taking about 30 hours at over on the internet, and by the end of this year, I'm going to take 30 more hours of continuing education in the securities business. And it forces you to. A slothful man won't do that. And just get behind. How many people say, well, I went training, I learned computers, you know, back in the late 90s. Folks, if you learned computers in the late 90s, you are so behind the curve. Amen? You've got to keep abreast of these things. Basically, the root of the chronic waster, you know what it is? They don't have a spirit of gratefulness. They lack that inner contentment. There's always a striving and a driving for more. It's greed. It's a green-eyed monster, and it causes, and ironically, there's a script, the slothful man desires and has nothing. There's a verse in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. See, it's one thing to desire, but that will I seek after. It takes getting up and doing it. Amen? Amen? Am I getting a little close to home with y'all? This is in the Word. This is in the Word. Symptoms and consequences of laziness. Okay, we're going to look at one more. Proverbs 26:13. The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. In fact, you know what's interesting? If you look at 22:13, it's the same verse, a little different. 22:13 says, the slothful man says, there's a lion without. I'll be slain in the streets. Okay? And then look at 26:16. Last place we're going to look this morning. 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. In other words, the sluggard is brilliant, full of intellectual genius when it comes to making excuses. Which brings us to the last. The lazy person is a champion excuse maker. Always has a reason why. You know, sometimes I'll talk to people about something. They always have a reason why I can't this. And they just kind of shotgun you down with all their reasons why they can't. And you can't combat them because you don't know all the details. You go, well, it's obvious that God has ordained you from the beginning of time to not have to work. You're just one of those unique beings that you just open and walk outside and dollar bills just float down. Gosh. You know, a slothful person will not get a decent job. You know why? Because of their health. Because they're too good for it. Because the people there are too ungodly. Because they deserve more money. Because they can't find the right job. Hello? Hello? God's called us to work. Somebody recently came up and said, you know, should I get this job? Well, they hadn't had a job in a long time. I said, well, yeah. You know, if you're faithful with what's in your hand, God will give you more. Amen? There's a scripture, he that's faithful with little, God will give him much. Well, I'm waiting. You know, it's real sad. And one of the jobs, the things I do in business, we look through the resume services. There are a couple of resume services on the internet and kind of where we're doing recruiting. And I look at some of these resumes people put out there. And it's just a heartbreaker. I mean, people put out resumes. They can't even spell it. They can't spell their name. I actually found one guy who misspelled his name. His name was Robert. Misspelled his own name. Like, I'm really going to pull that resume, you know. But, I mean, they were literally, they have no training. You ought to see these things. On Monster.com, I mean, we're hundreds every day. They have no training. They got a GED, but they want to be an executive. And they put on their executive. They want $100,000 a year. I can't believe this. And then what are their qualifications? Hard worker and ready to work. Well, that's good. But yeah, they don't understand you. Sometimes you have to start on the bottom. You have to go and be the what? The mail clerk. Right? You have to be the filer. You have to show in the little thing you're faithful and you really go the extra mile and you're good at it. Then the boss goes, whoa, they show up on time every day. They do their job, work hard. They're good. I think I'll promote them. So they're the senior mail clerk. Right? And then they're really good and they learn. And well, I'll make them the regional mail clerk. And now the head of the mail department. See, that's the way it works. You work your way up. You work your way up. That's the way life is, folks, in the kingdom and anywhere. But a slothful person just wants a short circuit right there. I had a guy one time came to the church years ago. He visited twice. All right. Second time he came up and he said, Pastor, can I talk to you? He said, you know, you have a really good teaching ministry, and I really appreciate it, and so do I. And I was wondering if, you know, I'd be glad to help you out with your sermons and your teaching in the church. This is the second time he came. You know what my response was? I said, man, that is so loving of you. I really appreciate you willing to serve and help us. And I bet you do have a teaching ministry. And I would love to hear about your teaching and be a beneficiary of your teaching ministry. But let me tell you something. We have another need right now. And I just heard that we had another need in the nursery. So I said, one of the ladies over there, she's the head of our nursery. Would you mind, because we do have a need with the nursery. So would you mind being willing to volunteer in the nursery, you know, for a season? And I know I appreciate your teaching ministry. I'm sure at some point we'll be able to use that, but that's where our need is. I never forget, he looked at me and went, nursery? See, he was called to teach the word to the saints from the frat. He wanted to go be with the kids. So I said, well, brother, You know, I appreciate it, but that's where our need is. How many of y'all want to guess that he never came back? See, he wanted to go right to the top. As it were, well, what's the top? Don't ever seek the top. You know where the dead fish go? Y'all know where the dead fish go? They go to the top. There's nothing great about being at the top. Okay, I'd rather swim around the bottom. But he wanted to go right to the public deal, all right? But he didn't want to pay the price. A champion excuse maker. A sluggard is a talker and not a walker. He talks by the yard and walks by the inch. He always has excuses. Why? I can't, I won't, I would, I could, I should. And it's almost impossible to reason with because they always have a rebuttal and a retort. Champion excuse maker. Folks, I'm just going through some of the symptoms and consequences of laziness. There is so much in the scripture about this. And the Apostle Paul didn't tolerate people like that. The Apostle Paul, you know, we've been listening to some David Hogan tapes. You think he's pretty tough. You got to look at the Apostle Paul. He went out on a missionary journey with this young guy, okay? Name was John Mark. He's the one that ended up writing the book of Mark. Okay, but he was young, and his mama had a house in Jerusalem where they used to have prayer meetings. It was where they were praying the night Peter was in prison. John Mark's mom. So he knew everybody, kind of grew up. Some believe that. Y'all know about that weird little verse in Mark about on the night of the crucifixion, some guy was running at a sheet, somebody grabbed the sheet and he ran off naked. Do y'all remember that verse? Did you know there's a verse that says that in Mark? Some believe that was, he was telling about himself what he did the night of the crucifixion. Okay. So, anyway. So, years later, he kind of grew up in the early church and he goes on this missionary journey with Paul. You know, the great apostle Paul, you know. So he gets out there and this is the book of Acts. Well, Paul encounters this demonic thing in this town, this, you know, this political leader was going to prevent somebody. So Paul smote the guy blind in Jesus' name. How dare you block the gospel? Smote him blind. You know, and was able to preach the gospel. And it freaked Mark out. So the next port, he says, man, I'm out of here. I want to go home to mama. It says he went home. So, a couple years later, his uncle was Barnabas. Okay? And Barnabas was a colleague of Paul's. So Barnabas came to Paul and said, hey, I'd like to go on this missionary journey, and I'd like to take Mark. And it says there was the contention between Barnabas and Paul was so great. Paul said, no way, he ain't coming with us. He split from the work, went back to mama, forget it. And he was, the Barnabas said, they split. Barnabas went off with Silas and sailed right out of the book of Acts. You never hear from him again. And Paul took on. And so Paul's attitude was, look, that guy's lazy. He's scared. He doesn't have any gumption. He freaked out at the first. No way he's going with me. I got work to do. I got a job to do. I can't handle someone like him. What do you think? That's kind of rude. What happened? But you know, it's really interesting if you study in 2 Timothy 4 at the end of Paul's life, Mark did prove himself. He got up under Peter. And he discipled unto Peter, and he proved himself to be faithful. And did you know at the end of Paul's life, he said, send Mark, have him bring with him the parchment. So, and in the end, there was reckoning. In other words, Paul finally saw this guy did it right. He was willing to get under authority and be discipled. So in the end, Paul honored him. Amen? See how it works? God is looking if we're faithful with one on our hand. God has given us things. Are we faithful with one on our hand? Whatever we are faithful with, God will give us more. You know, God, I started a little Bible study in the early 80s, okay, on Monday nights. And the Lord told me to start this little Bible study. The first night was three people. That was tape number one. You know what tape is today? 1,290. Tape number one. That's where those numbers come from. It started from my Bible study in 81, July of 81. And three people came. I preached my heart out. I still have the notes. I still have the tape. I preached on the Word. Tape number two. Tape number three. I keep a list of all of these. And I was faithful every Monday night to teach the Word. At one point, my little Bible study really grew. Had all these singles in my church. It was like an accordion. Then it shrunk down. Then about four people. Then it grew again. 30, 25 people ahead of them up at the church in Sunday school class. And it shrunk down about six. Over the years, like this accordion thing, you know. And then one time, oh, okay, it's breathing. It's alive, you know, it's breathing. And over the years, I taught the word every week, every week, every week, every week, every week in the word. Folks, I tell you, I got boxes and boxes of notes. Been teaching every week for 24 years. And finally, the Lord showed me. He said, you know, as you're faithful with what I called you to do, I will bless you. So, all of a sudden, it became a church. My Bible study through a series of events. And our church was really cool in the beginning. And then it shrank like an accordion. And then it kind of got big. And then it shrank. Remember when it shrank again, Lindy, in the early 90s? And it's, and that's good. It shows it's breathing, right? It's alive. It's breathing. But you know what? I'm determined to be faithful with the gift God's given me. And I'm at the point I finally, after all these years, I really don't care as long as there's two people in the room. Amen? Because Jesus said where there's two or more, he shows up. So if it's down to Sherry and I, Jesus will show up. Amen? It's okay, because I know as I'm faithful with what God's given me, he'll open doors. And folks, he really has. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to travel in different places of the world and you know what? God's given you a gift. Each one of you, God's put something in your hand. What are you doing with it? Are you being faithful? One day we're going to be held accountable with what he's given you. Okay, whatever it is. My deal happens to be a teaching ministry. That may not be your deal. That's okay. What is your deal? What's God called you to do? Maybe just to be a good steward at work. You know, just to be a light. Maybe a good housewife or a good child or a good husband provider. That's okay. In the eyes of the Lord, you say, well, I'm not producing much. You know, I'm not having all these people get saved and I'm not having all this. You know what? It doesn't. None of that matters. Because the only purpose of this life is to develop your character. Oh, that's in the next life. You understand? This life is about just developing your character of faithfulness and submission and trustworthiness and character, good character. Hey, you'll bear fruit coming out of the wahoo on the other side. So it really doesn't matter what fruit you bear here. What you're going to find out is the people that seem to bear a lot of fruit here, it doesn't mean nothing on Judgment Day. It's with how much you were faithful with what you had. It's not the guy, you know, like somebody says, Steve Hill once said, the great evangelist down there in Brownsville, thousands were saved. And his comment, and I tend to agree with it, he says, when we all lined up, he says, you'll probably be way back of the line. And you know who's going to be up to the front? Little old ladies who were just faithful to their family, loved their kids, you know, loved neighbor kids, were a light in the neighborhood. Those are going to be up at the front of the line because they were faithful with what they had. And God, he's not judging by quantity, it's quality. Just what do you have? Are you being faithful with it? Because if you're faithful with what you have as a mama, as a child, as a parent, you know, you're doing your best and you love the Lord and you're keeping that relationship open with him. You're walking in righteousness. Trust me, God will bless you. He will multiply. He will increase. He will push you forward. He will promote you. Yeah, he may use you in certain ways in the kingdom. He may not. What does it matter? We're all going to be used in the kingdom on the other side. All of us are going to be used in the kingdom on the other side. Every one of us. The resurrection of the dead, that's what it's all about. The millennial reign. Can I add amen? Lord, I pray today you would bring deliverance in our lives from laziness, passivity. And I'm going to tell you again, folks, if you get this, you got the whole essence of the meeting. You ready? The root of it is ungratefulness. The root of it is discontent. Okay? If you're genuinely grateful and content right where you are, you watch the Lord begin to make you. And insert some diligence in your life. So pray this after me. Lord Jesus, bring the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Show me where I'm acting like a slug or a sloth. Lord, make me diligent. Fill me with fire to be faithful with what you've called me to do. It's your business, not mine. You're the boss. I'm bought with a price. Help me be a good steward with whatever I'm doing, as unto the Lord and not to men. I want to show Jesus that I love you by my actions. And I thank you. Now let's just give thanks to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank Him, man. Thank Him for what He's called you to do. Thank Him for the things He's given you. Give thanks to the Lord this morning. Jesus, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray a blessing over all of us now, protection. I pray extend your umbrella of protection over all of us until we come together again. Everybody said, God bless you. You're dismissed. If anyone would like prayer and anointing of oil, feel free to come on up. Amen.